Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into Tide Talk Live. Stacey Blackwood joined, as always, by my good buddy, Jake Thomas. Jake, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Stacey, great to be back here. It's been been probably a week or two since I was able to do something, so glad to be back. Home life is great. Everything's going well here. Just trying to get adjusted still to a newborn and her sleeping habits. That's the fun part. So not a lot of sleep, but, you know, it's fun. It's truly fun, man.
Yeah, I can't say that I miss those days because I do not. But so I'm glad I at least get a full night's sleep. But
right,
glad the baby and mama's doing good. Good to be back on the show with you. Cannot wait to kind of dive into today's topic. And but before we do that, please do make sure you subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. Give us a like. Also, find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, part of the Believe Network. So wherever you find your podcast, you can find us there as well. Free and available wherever you find those. Jake, we're going to be talking about the 2024 Alabama football schedule and just kind of give our initial thoughts about the schedule and the upcoming matchups here in 2024 for Alabama in the first year of the Kalen DeBoer era. There's a lot to kind of dissect in between now and the start of the season.
Right.
But I thought it'd be kind of fun here in the off-season time to kind of look at the schedule early on and just – a quick thought about each matchup and what you think might could happen, you know, in that game. But before we do that, I do want to give a shout out to Coach Oates and the men's basketball team who just continue to win, Jake. Now 8-1 in conference play, halfway through the SEC schedule, and they're 8-1. You know, they got a big game on Wednesday night at Auburn. So just credits to Nate Oates and company there in Tuscaloosa who, you know, truthfully, he's probably getting more out of this team than what many people thought he could. So super proud of what Coach Oates has done in this basketball team, and they just seem to be getting better and better as the season goes on.
Yes, Stacey, the stats of the night was incredible. 49 three-pointers, only made 15 of them, and we still won like 32 points. I mean, That's incredible. And you think about, like you said, he replaced his entire coaching staff in the middle of summer, right in the middle of recruiting pretty much and all that. And he was able to still get his guys in and get the coaches in and has his team playing, you know, with a lot of fire right now. So Mark Sears, I don't know if he's going to be able to win SEC player of the year, but he's got to be top three for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely in the conversation. And I think, you know, maybe even Wednesday night's game against Auburn could kind of catapult him. If he was to have a good game and Alabama was to get the win, you know, because I think Janai Broome is right there in the conversation, the big guy for Auburn. Dalton Kinect for Tennessee is right there in the conversation. I think it's really between those three guys right now. And Mark Sears has a chance to maybe take over Janai Broome for sure with another win over Auburn on Wednesday night. So just what this team has accomplished so far. And even if they don't win on Wednesday night, you know, Jake, this team, you know, 10 games through conference play, if you'd have told me at the start of the season they'd be 8-2, I'm not sure I would have believed you looking at this schedule so far. So just kudos to Coach Oates and the players there in Tuscaloosa for getting the job done.
Absolutely, man. We're excited about the basketball team. We can talk about more about them later on because we're going to get into March Madness with them guys, SEC tournament as well. Feel like they're going to have a deep run in the tournament and in the NCAA tournament as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Jake, let's move straight into to the 2024 schedule for Alabama. And just a couple notes on the 2024 season for Alabama, because it's going to be a little bit different than most season. The first game is actually at the end of August. So what that does is that generates you an extra bye week throughout the season. So that you're going to see that comes up big for Alabama here in 2024. So that's just kind of a side note, you know, as we start to look at this schedule here in 2024. But you get things started, like I mentioned, on August 31st, Jake, against Western Kentucky. And, you know, an interesting note there, it looks like their quarterback's going to be TJ Finley. Of course, he's kind of made his rounds throughout the country, started at LSU. Then he went to Auburn. This past season, he was at Texas State, set some records for those guys, and now he's transferred over to Western Kentucky. You know, obviously Alabama, you know, is just going to overpower them. They outmatch Western Kentucky. But what do you think just about that matchup overall, Jake, the first game of the Kalen DeBoer era?
Yeah, that's where my focus lies is, you know, to see what the offense is going to look like. As of this recording, and I still feel like he's going to be here, you know, as the offense coordinator. Ryan Grubb, I feel like, is going to be the offense coordinator at Alabama starting the season and this season, regardless of what's going on at Seattle Seahawks. But, you know, Saban tried to get him on a few years ago. So I'm really excited to see what kind of offense he brings to the table. We know what he can do with, you know, two and three and low end 4-star guys, what he did at Washington. Let's see what we can do with 5-star potential. I really feel like him and Kalen DeBoer are going to, you know, they're going to impose their will, like you said, against Western Kentucky. So I'm just excited to get the game started then and see what this offense is going to look like and really see how this defense is going to look like as well, being a new 4-2-5 scheme.
Yeah, I mean, everything's new. So this is right. The first opportunity for the fans to kind of get a glimpse into what the Kalen DeBoer era of Alabama football could look like. So obviously I think that's the biggest, you know, not really a question mark, but the biggest focus of week one for Alabama fans is just, you know, the start of a new era of Alabama football and what it's going to be like without Nick Saban roaming the sidelines for the Crimson Tide. So just going to be a lot of fun. Cannot wait to August 31st. And the truth is that'll be here quicker than we realize. But week two, Jake, is September 7th against South Florida. Of course, Alabama saw the Bulls last year in Tampa, closer than what it probably should have been, getting that 17-3 win over the Bulls there in Tampa. But, you know, I got to think that Alabama's going to be in a little bit better condition as far as mentally heading into this game than they were last year, with all the uncertainty at quarterback and all the uncertainty really across the roster along the offensive line. So I think they'll be in a better spot from a mental capacity heading into week two matchup against South Florida than what they probably were this past season. So I'm just kind of looking forward to seeing what this team looks like against South Florida. You know, you get the first game under you of Kalen DeBoer, and now you're kind of setting that the carriage is in motion, and you can kind of make some adjustments and make some changes and alter some things heading into week two. So that's what I'm looking forward to in that game.
Yeah, absolutely, Stacey. And I don't feel like there's going to be a daggum hurricane in the middle of the game like it was last year too, which kind of probably played a little psyche on the team as well. But, you know, I'm expecting, you know, the second game, you're still going to see kind of some slip ups, kind of, you know, wheel spin a little bit, but that's what these first two games are about, is to get that, like you said, that carriage rolling, getting the team gelling to get set up for that week three matchup.
Yeah. And that week three matchup, that's really kind of when the season starts for this team, Jake, at Wisconsin on September 14th, look, Wisconsin's not that, you know, 9-win, 10-win program that they've been, you know, under the what was their coach's name that was there for so long that done such a great Barry Alvarez. This is not your Barry Alvarez Wisconsin team, but Luke Fickell took over. You know that he's going to turn that program around. I think they went 7-5 this last year. So I think they're going to be a good team, Jake. I'm not sure how good they'll be, but anytime you play in Madison, Wisconsin, Jake, it's going to be a tough environment. So a true road game in week three against a quality Power Five opponent, and that's kind of a way to start the Kalen DeBoer era. Even though that's going to be game three, you get a couple games under your belt. Now you hit the road, tough environment against a quality Power Five opponent to kind of see what Kalen DeBoer and this Alabama team's made of.
Yeah, absolutely. And Wisconsin is one of those ground and pound. They're just going to you know, use a lot they did in the past. I'm not sure exactly what Fick was going to do, but they use a lot of the play clock. So, you know, they're stamping the ball with 5-7 seconds left. So, I mean, they're going to ground and pound you and wear you down. So let's see how the conditioning is for this team in week three, especially being on the road. And it's, you know, by then it may still be pretty, but there's a chance that it's kind of cooler up in Madison, Wisconsin at that time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. You talked about the offense that Wisconsin could be running. You know, I didn't really watch any of Wisconsin last year, so I'm looking forward to, as the season gets closer, going back and looking at what Wisconsin looked like in 2023, both offensively and defensively from a schematic standpoint, because, you know, it will be an intriguing matchup there in Madison in week three. But but then in week four, Jake, it is a bye week. You get the bye week. This is where that first bye week comes in. Thank goodness, right? You get a bye week, but then the Georgia Bulldogs roll into Tuscaloosa on September 28th, Jake, and what could be potentially the best regular season matchup of the entire 2024 college football season. Man, where to even begin on that matchup, Jake?
You know, this is where we're going to find out what kind of team Alabama has this upset, you know, this coming season. And we're going to see how Kalen DeBoer responds. Will the pressure get to him in this game? You know, this is where those questions are going to be answered. And also, on the flip side, you know, Kirby Smart could not get – he got that one win against Saban, but he couldn't really, you know, consistently beat Saban. I mean, he was 1-5 in his career. Now Saban's out of the picture. Will that, like, monkey be off of that shoulder, off his shoulder? So could we see a different Kirby in this game, more mentally focused and all that? So Kalen DeBoer and this offensive staff and the defense staff, this whole coaching staff has got their – going to have their hands full in that game, because I feel like we're going to see a more pressing Dogs team than what we have when Saban was rolling the sideline.
That's a really good point, bringing up Saban and Kirby. And like you mentioned, is that monkey off of Kirby Smart's back now with Coach Saban no longer on the sidelines for Alabama? And how does he then attack the Crimson Tide? Because there's not many programs in the country – that, you know, dude for dude matchup with Georgia. Alabama is one of those teams. You know, look at Ohio State, you know, maybe a team like Michigan or but the Texas, maybe. There's very few programs in the country that can go dude for dude with you. So that does change up how you have to play that team, because when you know you have the better dudes, you can basically do what you want. But that's not the case when Alabama and Georgia meet, Jake, and it's not going to be the case on September 28th. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Just because Alabama lost a lot of guys in the portal doesn't mean their top 80 players are not full of 4- and 5-star guys. So it's this matchup is going to be a heavyweight battle.
Right.
And I'm just looking forward to seeing how Coach DeBoer handles the big game expectations. Not so much during the game, Jake, but the week leading up to this matchup, how does DeBoer handle that? Because, Jake, everybody from a media standpoint is going to be wanting to talk to him. I'm sure game day will be there in Tuscaloosa. Okay. So the distractions of leading up to this game are going to be interesting relative to how Coach DeBoer and the staff handles that. So looking forward to that. But then when you get between the white lines, Jake, it's about the guys executing on the field. And say what you want. Maybe it was the Saban effect. For whatever reason, in crunch time, in these few matchups between Alabama and Georgia, Alabama has executed and Georgia hasn't. And right. that's been the difference in these games, Jake. Most mm-hmm. of them have been pretty close outside of a couple. And just Alabama finds a way to execute down the stretch and come away with a win. So, like you mentioned, with Saban gone, is that monkey off of Kirby's back? Mm-hmm. Or is it more of an Alabama monkey than a Nick Saban monkey?
Right.
So we'll find out here on September 28th. Looking forward to that matchup, Jake. What a fun game that's going to be in Tuscaloosa.
Man, the lights are going to be outstanding. And that environment, I just have a feeling, I'm pretty much 99.9% sure that's going to be a night game. So it's going to be rocking down there.
Oh, yeah. It'll be an unbelievable atmosphere for sure. Mm-hmm. Might be the best atmosphere that stadium's ever had.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not being hyperbolic either. It could be special. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on, Jake, to the first game in the month of October. You travel to Nashville to take on Vanderbilt. No need in spending a lot of time on this, Jake. Vanderbilt is not good. You know, they historically do not do very well against Alabama. So I think me and you both are pretty confident. Although I think Clark Lea is a decent coach, Vanderbilt doesn't have much of a chance of taking down Alabama in that game.
Yeah, I mean, the storyline in that game is going to be, is Vandy Stadium done by then? Because, I mean, it's just a shell of itself right now. So I think that's the biggest storyline going into the offseason for Vandy. And I like Vandy. I wish they would have some success. But, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the biggest storyline for the season if you're a Vandy Commodore fan.
No doubt. All right, the next album is back at home against the South Carolina Gamecocks. That's an interesting matchup, Jake. Yeah. Shane Beamer. Obviously, he does a really good job recruiting. He's got a really good class. He's done really solid in that area. But I think most people would say they underperformed in 2023, Jake. So it's going to be interesting to see what type of team South Carolina has in 2024. So, you're kind of at the halfway point of the season when you get there on October 12th. So you kind of know who you are in that point of the season. And it'll be interesting to see what South Carolina's made of when you get to October 12th.
Yeah, I feel like Shane Beamer's going to have this team fired up and ready to play because, you know, this feels like a make-or-break season for him. He may be fired at the end of the year if they don't do something. So, you know, I feel like he's going to have a better team this year. Just don't know how it's going to translate to the field. So we'll have to see. But I really do like Shane Beamer. I wish him success. But it just has not worked so far there at South Carolina with him.
Yeah, he's an all right guy, but I think if he spent more time coaching his football team instead of running his mouth, he might have right. better results. So
I agree.
That's all I have to say about Shane Beamer. then you get to the third Saturday in October, Jake. You travel to Knoxville to take on the Tennessee Volunteers, who, you know, they're going to have Nico at quarterback. I'm sure they'll be really good on offense. Still unsure what they'll be like on defense. Tennessee is one of the strangest teams to me heading into the 2024 season because I think they'll be good, but I'm not just 100% sold they're going to be good.
Yeah, they are strange this year, Stacey. They, you know, Nico's a really good quarterback. I feel like he's going to be, you know, kind of Hendon Hooker-esque. You know, he may be a little bit better than Hendon Hooker, but – you know, he showed out in their bowl game. He kind of got a taste of what he can bring to the table. But defensively, man, that's where the question marks lie. Josh Heupel has not really had a great defensive team since he's been there. Offense is sound. Defense is not. So where is their defense going to lie this year? If they're in the middle of the pack, I think they can have a really great season. But it's all going to depend on that defense for them, I feel like.
Yeah, and, you know, they were improved in 2023 defensively, mm-hmm. but, you know, they lose some key guys from that, not only to the draft, but to the transfer portal as mm-hmm. well. You know, that their best edge rusher is heading to Ole Miss. So, just
– Everybody is.
Yeah, they're just – they're a weird team entering this season. So, it's kind of hard to gauge what they're going to look like here as we sit on February 5th looking ahead to a game being played in mid-October. But – obviously, that's always one of the most fun games every season, so looking forward to that matchup as well. Mm-hmm. Then you go back home to Tuscaloosa the next week to face Eli Drinkwitz and the Missouri Tigers, who are coming off one of the best years in Missouri football history. And I'm interested to see how they respond to having that much success. Can they build on that? Of course, they get the quarterback back, Brady Cook. They lose their running back, but they got Luther Burton back at receiver. So Missouri's always pretty solid on defense. So you got to think they're going to be pretty good there. But they did lose some key pieces. They have the one of the best defensive linemen in the country, going to be playing for them next fall as well. So they're a lot like Tennessee. I want to kind of hold off and wait to see what they look like, only because I'm not used to seeing Missouri come off a season where they have the success that they had the previous year. So I'm in a wait and see type of mode for Missouri heading into 2024.
Yes, Stacey, it's going to be interesting to see what they can do. Can they capitalize, like you said, on their success from last year? I'm kind of waiting to see as well. I really like Brady Cook. Luther Burden is probably one of the best wideouts in the SEC right now. Other than that, you have a few pieces, but you don't really have that, a team that can make that next step, I feel like. So,
right.
They may be 8-4, 9-3 again kind of season this year.
Yeah, they're one of those teams like, maybe what they done last year is their peak. That's all they can ever be, because, when you're in the SEC, you're going to have to get over Georgia. You're going to have to get over Alabama. You're going to have to get over Texas now. So it's not going to be easy. And with what Lane Kiffin's building at Ole Miss, I mean, it's going to be hard to kind of get over those humps. LSU's going to be in the mix of things as well. So it's maybe they peaked in 2023, maybe not. I don't know. But I am interested to see how they kind of come off the success that they had last season.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we get to the second bye week now, Jake, after the game against Missouri. You get an off week, and then you make that trip to Death Valley to take on the LSU Tigers in Baton Rouge, where we all know how that game ended the last time Alabama mm-hmm. played there, losing that heartbreaker in overtime on a two-point conversion. Jake, how do you feel about that game being played there in November?
Well, first I want to say Alabama's road schedule is tough this coming season. Yeah. I mean, you look at all the places we got to go on the road, and we haven't even hit Norman yet. So, that's coming up in a few games here. But, that is going to be a very interesting matchup. Number one, Jaden Daniels. So, he lit up everybody, not just, Alabama. He lit up everybody in the conference. I mean, that kid was special. So, how do they build off of that? Nussmeier's a really good quarterback. He's not to that level of Jaden Daniels. So, they're going to have to find some other pieces and find a run game to help him out, I feel like. And, they're another team I feel like could maybe be a nine-win team, but that's about it this year for them.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be a common theme in 2024, is there's going to be a handful of SEC teams sitting at 9-3 when the regular season's over with. Yeah. And so that game against LSU in Death Valley, that's always tough, maybe the toughest place to play in the country. I mean, it certainly has the argument for that. So, Brian Kelly's going to have his guys ready. They're going to figure the offense out. That's kind of Brian Kelly's thing. They usually figure the offense out. The defense was so bad last season. Yeah. I think they made a good hire as the defensive coordinator. I can't think of his name right now, but I think they made a good hire there. So, I think they'll be improved, but they really have nowhere to go but up defensively.
Right.
Because they were that bad in 2023. So, that's going to be a really fun matchup in Death Valley there.
Mm-hmm.
Then, Jake, they get their cupcake of the season. There late in the year and on November 16th against Mercer. No need and really spend any time on that game. Alabama's going to get the win there relatively easy. Then the final road game of the season, Jake, on November 23rd at Oklahoma, Jake. I mean, how fun is it to have Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC? Now you have to look forward to being able to travel to Austin to play Texas or travel to Norman to play Oklahoma every few seasons. What a game that's going to be late in the season, and who knows what kind of ramifications it's going to have.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not sure exactly, the layout and the team that Oklahoma is going to have, because, the quarterback, I think, has moved on. I forgot where he's headed to.
He's at
Oregon, yeah.
Jackson Arnold, the guy who's going to be their quarterback. I think his last name is Arnold. I'm pretty sure it's Jackson Arnold. Mm-hmm. He's elite, dude. He's going to be a really good player, but I'm not sure what Oklahoma is on the defensive side of the football against quality opponents.
Yeah, that's my biggest question mark for Oklahoma this coming year. Feel like they're going to be good offensively. Defensively, with a defensive-minded coach, you feel like they'll be a little bit better than what they have been. But being in the Big 12, we talk about the Big 12 defenses have not been that great. They're just do not know how to tackle for some reason. So maybe getting a defensive-minded coach, getting the SEC where defense is king pretty much, maybe they'll start shifting their focus and getting a lot better defensively. But, you know, I still feel like they're going to have a little bit of that Big 12 energy about them, and defenses, they're going to be kind of lackluster again this year.
Yeah, they've played really inconsistent under Brent Venables on both sides of the football, if we're being honest. So this is a big year for Venables, and to see what he can do here, I think would be year three of his tenure there in Oklahoma. So that could be, you know, a game that's, I don't want to say make or break for him there late in the year, but it could be a game that kind of sets in motion what his future is like post 2024. So a big game there in Norman, the second to last game of the season. But of course, you wrap up the regular season on November 30th at home against the Auburn Tigers. Jake, if Auburn doesn't find a quarterback, despite the class that they brought in, Jake, and they signed a heck of a class, top 10 in the country. Mm-hmm. But despite that class, Jake, despite that, I think they'll be pretty solid on defense. With Peyton Thorne at quarterback, I just don't have confidence that the Auburn offense is going to be good enough to beat the good teams.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong for thinking like that?
No, you know, outside of what happened to Alabama last year in that game, Peyton Thorne has been, you know, below average, I would say, you know, in the SEC. He would show spurts of being a really good quarterback, but he's too inconsistent. And if they want to have success, if they want to get to a 10-win season like they've been harping about, they've got to find a quarterback and fast. And I know they got a fairly decent freshman, fairly good freshman coming in, mm-hmm. that may either push Peyton Thorne to get better or that guy can overtake him. But I just don't see Peyton Thorne being the guy at Auburn to get them to that next step where they want to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a fine player, Jake, but mm-hmm. you're not going to beat the Georgias, the mm-hmm. Alabamas, the LSUs. You're not going to beat those teams, the Ole Miss, Texas. You're not going to beat those teams with mediocre to poor quarterback play. And that's what Peyton Thorne delivered in 2023. And he didn't show any signs that he was going to make some massive step in the right direction heading into 2024. So, you know, I don't want to wait till the season gets here before we obviously say anything, you know, with, you know, some finality. But I don't have a ton of confidence in the Auburn offense heading into 2024. They still have a lot of question marks up front along the offensive line. You know, Jacquez Hunter is back, one of the best backs coming back in the SEC, Jake. But when you're mediocre to poor at quarterback, all that other stuff really doesn't matter because you have to be able to make some plays at the quarterback position. And I'm not sure Peyton Thorne can do that for Auburn.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. He, like I said, he's been consistently inconsistent, as we like to say. You know, so he's got to get improve his game, or Auburn's not going to get to that 8-9-10-win season that they want.
Yeah, I agree 100%. All right, Jake, before we kind of wrap up the show, I want to ask you this: what stands out to you most about the 2024 schedule for Alabama?
You know, I love the balance. You know, I mean, every team has got a tough game somewhere this year. You know, Georgia's got to go to Alabama. We got to go to Death Valley. We got to go to Knoxville. But I love that aspect of how it's coming in. And with Texas and Oklahoma, if they get back to where they have been, it seems like Texas is getting there. If Oklahoma gets back, my gosh, the SEC, I don't see how you can say it's not the most dominant, you know, college football conference in the country. Because, I mean, any given week on the road, it's going to be tough to come out with a win if you're the visiting team for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Alabama's schedule, Jake. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 road games. Mm-hmm. Every one of them are tough except for Vanderbilt. I mean, every one of them are at places that have, you know, historically elite home field advantages.
Yeah.
I mean, at Wisconsin, I mean, that's historically elite. Mm-hmm. Home field advantage. Mm-hmm. At Tennessee, we know what that's about. At LSU, we know what that's about. Yeah. At Oklahoma, I mean, good grief, Jake. That road schedule, I mean, I haven't looked at everybody's schedule across the country, Jake, but I bet there's not a team in the country that's got four road games as tough as what Alabama's got.
You couldn't convince me that they do.
So, but if there is a team out there, I would love to see that schedule because I feel really bad for them.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a that would be brutal. That'd be Murray's Row for sure.
No doubt about it. All right, guys. Hey, that's going to wrap up our, you know, kind of quick look at the 2024 schedule. First look, I guess, if it's what you want to call it, here in early February. You know, please let us know your thoughts on the schedule in the comment section below. Once again, please do like, share, and subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. We're also free and available wherever you find your podcast, part of the Believe Network. Excited to be a part with those guys there at Believe. Jake, any last words before we head out for the night?
No, man, just excited for, you know, get the football season here, but the build up, we got so much to talk about in the off season. So stay tuned. Hopefully we'll have boots on the ground at A-Day. We're going to see how that plays out, hopefully. But, you know, stay tuned. We got a lot of great content coming up here in the next several months.
No doubt about it. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching. Like I said, please do subscribe to the channel and like the video. Jump in the comments and give us your thoughts on the 2024 Alabama football schedule. But for Stacy Blackwood and Jake Thomas, this has been Tide Talk Live. And until next time, roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Lefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.